Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that teaches us the word. King Jesus, what more can we say? You're a king. You're our Lord and our master, and we love you. Sit at your feet this morning for you to instruct us and mature us. Lord, we invite you. We welcome you. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did we get it? All right. Let's take our Bibles this morning. If you don't have one, there's one in the pew right there ahead of you. But let's hold them up and say this together. These are our Bibles. We are who God says we are. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And He says we are washed of all sin through Christ's blood. The Lord is our shepherd. We lack for nothing. And we are the living evidence of God's total program for life and peace. Amen. We're going to continue our series this morning on resurrecting servanthood. It has been great to hear the different testimonies coming in from people who have been out and about just doing good and being thoughtful and kind and hearing how the Lord is showing up in divine opportunity. Our own Ricky Kidder, one of our ushers, he picked up three cards on Sunday, and I think I mentioned the outreach cards that just say, we're glad we had the chance to serve you, we want to show you God's love, and I have some here on my front row, and then there's some on the usher's table. Ricky was telling me Tuesday night at Be Transformed, he took three cards, and by Tuesday night, he had three opportunities already to just demonstrate the love of Christ to people. One particular person needed a ride somewhere. They had no way of getting somewhere, and it was a little bit, you know, out of his way and so forth, but he wanted to do it as unto the Lord, and then a financial need. What was so interesting is Ricky told me Tuesday night, he said, you know, I could tell Pastor Steve that it really blessed those people that I was able to help out and serve, he said, but it really blessed me. Yeah. Proverbs 11:25, right? He who waters others gets watered in the process. And you may be here this morning and say, well, you know, Pastor Steve, all this helping and ministering and looking out for the interests of other people, I'm just not well enough. You know, I'm not far enough along maybe to do that. Oh, I've got news for you, okay? Helping others will help you. Helping others will help you. And a lot of times we think, well, I just, you know, I'm not healed enough, I'm not there. I promise you, if you start sowing, hey, if you're even believing God for physical healing, start praying healing for other people. Start sowing good seed. Anyway, it was great to hear. And then, do you guys remember my friend Brian? He was the one on hold with AT&T. You remember I told that story? Okay. I found out this week he's on hold with T-Mobile. Now, I can't make this stuff up. What happened is he travels around internationally, and it had come to his attention that T-Mobile must have better rates or something internationally, or coverage. I'm not sure, maybe coverage. Well, he's on hold with T-Mobile, and the same thing starts happening. He starts getting an impression for the woman that's helping him from T-Mobile, and so they take care of business, and at the end of the phone call, he says, now this may sound strange to you, but sometimes I get impressions on regarding people's conditions, and he just asked her, he said, do you happen to have any pain, you know, throughout your body? I keep getting maybe pain and discomfort throughout your body. And she said, yes. As a matter of fact, I do. How did you know that? Well, there you go. Okay, the Lord knows, and He cares about you. So he goes into that spiel and the impression, and he was thinking maybe fibromyalgia. I can't remember what he mentioned, but she said, no, what I have is MS. And she had gotten MS just the last year to year and a half and had become pretty painful to her body. So my friend Brian, he's praying for her. You know, he'll always ask, what level of pain do you have? It's so funny because her husband's in the next cubicle. And so he starts realizing that my wife's praying with some guy on the phone for healing, and the pain she had in that moment was about a 7, and he prayed 3 times for her over the phone, and it ended at about a 1. So she wasn't at a place of completely pain-free. But I'm not even sure that's the greater miracle. That's a wonderful miracle that she got relief from a 7 to a 1, and that she discovered that God is aware of her situation. But here, listen to what she told my friend Brian. She said, I'm so glad this happened because I had friends telling me that God gave me MS. Yeah. She said, I had friends telling me God gave me MS to help me be able to empathize with other people. Can you believe that? We wouldn't even do that with our natural kids, right? Like, Johnny, here's the flu. I want you to be able to, you know, empathize with people. We wouldn't even do that. Why would we think God our Father would do that to his kids? So to me, that's the greater miracle, is she gets to get off that phone with the revelation that God's not afflicting her with MS. How do you have intimacy with a God you think is giving you MS? I mean, who wants to pray and talk to him or listen to what he has to say? And my friend Brian just told her, he said, well, listen, I know it's not God. He said, because why, when I'm asking God in Jesus' name to heal you of MS, does the pain keep going away? He said, there's no way God is the one putting this on you. So just different stories like that. Even our own Paula Fox, who plays keyboard with us once a month or so, she was telling me last Sunday that at Marlow, where she was teaching in school, they were talking about the 60s or 70s or something, and Janis Joplin came up. And so many of you probably know Janis Joplin's undoing was drugs. And Paula just kind of took opportunity. Remember, servanthood and all that is just looking for opportunities to minister to people, just opportunities to share Christ with people. And so there in her classroom, she just said, I can totally relate to Janis. Every human being tries to put something in us to satisfy us. But she said, what I have found is that only God can satisfy a human being. Well, that opened a door. Two girls just stayed after class and asked her some questions. She had a wonderful chance to visit with them. But that's all we're talking about. We're talking about servanthood. It's just being open and available and looking for opportunities for the truth to break into this dimension. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a lot better than Tuesday night at 6? Let's go door to door and everybody will hate us. I mean, why? How about, there's a reason they came out with all the no soliciting signs now. Tuesday night evangelism. No, let's just be an expression of Christ's love wherever we are as we have opportunity. I think that sounds like an easier yoke. We want to have the heart and the attitude of Christ to help and minister to people. Maybe build some bridges, right? Restore some credibility to the word Christian. Because I promise you, not everybody in our country as of late has gone home and talked to their family in a good way and said, I encountered a Christian today. But that's what we want. We want to be the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go and for people to come home. Just like, I love the fact the woman from T-Mobile, her husband's in the next cubicle, he's getting to bear witness that, hey, Christ loves my wife. Christ has compassion on her. He's certainly not afflicting her with this. Well, we left off last week, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, the guys are still a little bit confused, okay? The Holy Spirit hasn't come to empower them and give them wisdom, what we'll see in Acts chapter 2. Their view of the kingdom is, number one, it's natural, therefore it's too small. Number two, it's nationalistic. Are you going to give the kingdom to Israel? How many of you know the kingdom of God that Jesus came announcing is way bigger than one nation? It is first of all, it's a spiritual kingdom, and it's open to every human being. Any human being, any country you're from, you can receive the spirit of God's government on the inside. Verse 7, he said to them, listen, guys, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father's put in his own authority. Here's what you need to know. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And look, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. He didn't say you'll go witnessing. He didn't say go witness to people. He said you'll bear witness unto me. In other words, you'll be evidence or proof that I exist. How about the fruit of the Spirit? Evidence of the Spirit. We thought he meant go witness to people. No, just simply wherever you are, whatever time, day it is, whether you're in your living room or the supermarket or wherever, just bear witness. You've been with me and I'm with you. You're going to bear witness. You're going to give evidence that I'm real. And we went out with information. We're trying to tell people what we knew instead of bear witness to who we know. There's a big difference. How many of you know words are important in a court of law? Testimony, it's important. What's more important? Evidence. Evidence. Simply bring forth evidence of me. Are you thinking about it? Because getting quiet in this full gospel church here. We're going to bear witness unto Christ. He didn't say go witness to everybody. Go tell everybody something. Just bring forth the evidence of who I am. See, our healthy attitude, our giving nature, our mindset, our demeanor of love bears witness of the life of Jesus Christ. That sounds a lot better than going door to door at 6 o'clock. Witness doesn't mean you take tracts to people or put door hangers on their doors. One guy said, quote, you'll know the church is in trouble when they pay the postman to do their evangelism. So we're trying to go around and give people information. And I'm not against that they can read about the gospel in a tract, but man, don't be the word made tract, be the word made sermon. I'm sorry, the word made flesh. We don't want to be the word made sermon either. Word made tract, word made sermon, be the word made flesh. A lot of people have heard God loves them. How many have seen it? A lot of people read about it. How many have seen it? See, we're an embodied word. Jesus is the word made flesh, and now he gets to be the word made flesh in you and I. That's far better than a tract. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says, the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. And guess what the word for power is there? Dunamis. Dunamis, the same word that we saw with the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not in word. So it's not just us talking, it's in demonstration that we have evidence that we have been with Christ and Christ is with us, the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said also his kingdom had supernatural power over the kingdoms of this world. John 16:33, in the natural world you'll have trial, tribulation, distress, and frustration. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the natural world for you. By opening the door to the world of the Spirit. Now you can go to the Spirit to overcome things. Rather than, wouldn't it, man, how hard would it be to try to pray that everything get fixed in the natural so you can have peace? Lord, would you fix everyone and everything in the natural and make them behave so I can have peace? Or, Lord, thank you that you provide peace by the Spirit in here, regardless of what's going on out here. And now I can bring a full expression of peace to my people and my circumstances. So we are the evidence through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that love is the strongest force in the universe and will win. We bear witness of that. We bear witness that goodwill trumps ill will. Well, what if in all of our goodness, what if in all of our kindness and love, they kill us? So? They may kill some of us, but they can't kill him. They can't kill him. He's spirit. They cannot kill him. Amen. So what if they kill us? There's more of us. They can't kill him. Let's go to John chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. You can't talk about servanthood without looking at the master wash his disciples' feet. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. This is the eve now of Jesus' worst day on earth. What's going to happen the next day? Everybody know? Crucifixion. Okay? So on the eve of the worst day of his life, Jesus is thinking about himself. He's trying to claim promises of the Father. No, he's thinking about the disciples. He's thinking about others. Look at verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, and yes, he did wash Judas' feet. Yes, he did. Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands. How many things? What does that mean? Jesus walked into that room knowing he didn't lack for anything. It's the eve of the worst day of his life, and yet he knows in this moment, I don't lack. Could you imagine had he gone into that room needing to get something from the guys? Would you guys value me? Can you tell me again one more time how important I am to the Father? Because this, I'm thinking, is not going to be good. Or how about this? I'm going to wash you guys' feet so the Father will love me more, so I can feel more holy. No, he didn't lack for anything. He knew the Father had given all things into his hands. Number two, that he had come from God. What's that? His identity. Jesus knew who he was. He had come from God. So he didn't lack for anything. Number three, he was going back to God, so he knew his destiny. Jesus felt so safe in these three things, he could be given. On the eve of the worst day of his life, he can still be thinking about other people and not himself. That's fantastic trust. And that's fantastic safety and security that he has in his Father. Verse 4, because of all that, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and he girded himself. Wow. So Jesus is getting ready to bear the sins of the whole entire world. How many of you know that's a pretty big assignment? If you're not sure how big Jesus' assignment is, go fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he literally sweats blood interceding for world salvation. That's how big the kingdom movement is. It's for every person on the planet, every tribe and tongue, every person that'll ever be born. The kingdom's going to be offered to all of humanity, and he's sweating blood interceding in the garden. Big assignment. So in the midst of all this, he's thinking about others. He's not thinking about his own needs. Again, Father, he didn't lack for anything. Father had given all things into his hands. He knew his identity, and he knew his destiny. How many of you know we have the mind of Christ? 1 Corinthians 2:16. How many of you know the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us? Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Then is it not fair to say we have access to the same internal information Jesus had in that room? We have access to the same revelation that what? That the Father's given all things into our hands. That we know our identity, we're born of him, we're born of God, and he's our destiny. We're going back to him. We have access to all that. So put this down if you're taking notes. Only when you know you lack nothing can you serve with a genuineness and no strings attached. Because otherwise you're going to start walking into rooms, your living room, your marriage, maybe your workplace, and you're going to walk in there trying to gain something from somebody instead of being the full expression of Christ's life to someone. It's a lack mentality that says, I got into this marriage so that you would fulfill me, you'd complete me, so you'd live in such a way I'd always feel loved. Don't you get tired of our marriages being two ticks and no dog? Feed me. Value me. You didn't say I was pretty today. You didn't make that pot roast like I asked you to. You didn't say I was handsome. I didn't think you treated me with respect today. You know what you said to me? That was really hurtful to me. And here we are living in lack. When the Father's given all things into your hands. What things? Value, esteem, validation, purpose, identity, righteousness, love. Are you fully loved in Christ? Yeah. And if you have teenagers, parents, please, fathers, validate your daughters in Christ. Anybody ever seen a teenage girl look for validation from a boy? From a knucklehead? Absolutely, we've seen it. And we tell our young people, it's okay, and I'll tell the adults too. As human beings, it's okay. I do know that you have needs. You have needs to be accepted. You have needs to feel valued and be unconditionally loved. That's a need. There's no fault in you for that. You're human. But please know only the one who can meet that need. Know who your proper source is. You're not made by another human being for a human being. You're made by Christ for Christ. So only he is going to satisfy you. It's okay to want to be accepted. Just remember who your source for acceptance really is. The only one who can satisfy. And yeah, maybe he's used your wife at times for you to feel valued and honored and respected. Praise God. But you got to understand it's him meeting that need through her. Or otherwise you'll put expectation on her to always be doing that for you. And you'll kill her. Because she ain't Jesus. Jesus. We got to come out of this lack mentality. Dwayne Sheriff did a survey many years ago among young people. Why should you get married? Why would you get married? And guess what they said? Number one reason, to be happy. If you get married to be happy, you're going to die. That is exactly right. Don't go into marriage to gain something. Go into marriage to be the expression of Christ to that person. Because you lack for nothing. You know who you are and you know where you're going. Now, can you imagine two people, a husband and a wife, a male and a female, who know that, who bring that into the marriage? I'm not trying to gain something. How about this revelation? How about I'll let you be you and I'll be me? I'm not going to go into this. I'm not going into this marriage to take something from you. I got to get something from you. You can't act that way because that makes me feel less. You are living in the lie of lack. Because in Christ you lack for nothing. Amen. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't lack. That's what that means. The Lord's my shepherd. He's my supply. I don't lack. Now I can be the expression of Christ everywhere I go. I shared some of these nuggets at the men's breakfast yesterday, and one of the men came up to me afterwards, who's so powerful. He said, you know, Pastor Steve, I've had a guy at work who, I'm going to be honest, annoys me to no end. And he said, he comes in, and I bet some of you know somebody like this. Don't look at your neighbor. He said, every day he comes to work, he talks over everybody. He wants to be seen. And if you don't validate the guy, if you don't pay attention to the guy, he gets offended. And he said, after what you shared today, I have compassion for him because he is so needy. And he said, I want to be able to take him. I hope I have a chance for a discussion to point him towards Christ. Because once you're valid through Christ, once you're accepted through Christ, you don't have to walk into the workplace and put pressure on everybody else to validate you and accept you. You get to walk into work and be the expression of the fullness of Christ to a whole bunch of people. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. Amen. Woo-hoo! Come on, somebody. That's so powerful. Powerful. Psalm 23:1, I gave you that. The Lord's our shepherd, we shall not want. So we can be confident that we are the full ones. Amrielle got a word back in February, one of our intercessors. This is the year of the full ones. Boy, we're seeing that. That's a prophetic word like that is so encouraging, because when we understand we don't lack, we're walking around with our hands full. We can have confidence. How about this one? Ephesians 1:3, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You possess the true riches. They belong to you in Christ. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, you are a sufficient minister of the new covenant. Literally, the word sufficient means you're adequate. You have more than enough. You are sufficient to minister in the new covenant in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Christ dwells all the fullness. Everybody say, all the fullness. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How many of you are okay with that? Well, look at verse 10. And you are complete in him, who's the head of all principality and power. Thank God we're complete in Christ. The fullness of God dwells in him and he dwells in me. I'm complete in him. Now I don't have to go to every man, woman, and child, every job, every circumstance and situation to be validated or complete. I can go into those situations. Imagine going into a relationship to express the fullness of Christ rather than going into a relationship, I need something from you. Everybody say, I'm complete in Christ. So what happens when we quit living like we're earning something and we live like we've actually got something? The church would change the world. The church would run into our cities with our hands full. Right? Able to pray for the sick, able to help the poor. Able, why? Because we have unlimited access to unlimited resource. Matthew 5:3, all of heaven belongs to you if you're poor enough to receive it. God's grace is his supply. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you'll just acknowledge your need of it, when you're praying for someone, then his supply comes running. this week I was counseling with a brother, a great brother and friend of mine. And after we were finished counseling, we were getting ready to leave out here in the hallway. And he just mentioned off the cuff how much his head hurt. Well, I immediately was quickened in my spirit about what we've been talking about. Well, if your head hurts, let's pray, because we have access to the fullness of God's resource. So right there in the hallway, I prayed for him, just lightly touched his forehead, thanked the Lord for his healing, his provision, and all that. Said in Jesus' name, amen. He looked at me. He was stunned because the pain was gone. Amen. I mean, this is the kingdom we represent. It's a kingdom of fullness, of resource. Now, how many of you know, even if he hadn't been completely healed of the pain, that still doesn't change God. And it still doesn't change we're the full ones. It's just a mindset. It's a mindset. We have the mind of Christ. He didn't leave us a model. He left us a mind. Churches can now invade their cities with their hands full, knowing that we represent a kingdom that's not short on love, not short on compassion, not short on joy, not short on peace. We are those who bear witness of the riches, the true riches of the kingdom of God. When Jesus said that about true riches, what's he talking about? I'm going to give you things worth far more than money. True riches, love, joy, peace, power in the Holy Spirit. Power to cure disease. He said, I'm giving you that power. Then we know it's him, but he needs hands to operate through, a vessel to operate through. Wow. We're so complete in Christ, we don't have to go around sucking the life out of everybody else. We get to live full. Everybody say, live full. Thank you for laughing. That made me feel a lot better. 2017 is the year to live full and full-handed. Like I said, I love that Jesus, even on the eve of the worst day of his life, doesn't walk into that room trying to gain something from his disciples. Takes a towel, wraps it around his waist, and then in the end says what? Hey, I've given you an example. This is how full we are. Even in your darkest hour, the Father's committed all things into your hands. You know your identity. You know where you're going. And you know, in verse 8, of course, the famous deal with Peter. Peter says, Lord, never shall you wash my feet. I'm in deficit to you, so I'm going to have to do that. If I'll wash your feet, we'll be square. How many of you know that is not the case? How many Christians live with a deficit mindset where God's concerned? I mean, so much of Western Christianity and Christian television here in the West has been rooted in deficit mindset. In other words, I'm going to have enough faith and I'm going to live holy enough. I'm going to do enough. I'm going to give God enough money that he'll give me stuff. What did he not give you when he gave you himself? What do you not have? And so we got deceived, even by well-meaning Christian brothers, into the lie of lack, that we didn't have enough. So too many Christians spend their whole life trying to erase a deficit with God that Jesus has already erased. Your bank account is full if you're in Christ. But boy, we have spent so much of our Christian life trying to erase a deficit only Jesus could have ever erased. You don't have a deficit with God. Christ is now your fullness. Christ is now your supply. Very important revelation right here, guys. You didn't get yourself out of the kingdom of darkness. God took you out of the kingdom of darkness. And guess what he did? You didn't place yourself in the kingdom of light. God placed you in his Son, in his kingdom of light. Does that make sense to you? You didn't earn your way out of darkness, and you sure didn't place yourself in light. God did both of those. Then why, if we're already seated there and we've been placed by the hand of God himself, why do we live as though we're not there? Unbelief. We are there because he placed us there. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Good News Translation. And with joy give thanks to the Father who's made you fit to have your share of what God has reserved for his people in the kingdom of light. Who made you fit? God did. Verse 13, he not you. He rescued us from the power of darkness. What else? He brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear son. That's where we are. Verse 14, by whom we're set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. So, since we're complete in him, since we're already placed in the kingdom of light and the kingdom of the Son of his love, now our hands are full. We can be given. We don't have to spend our whole Christian life trying to get. It's all about me. That's a lack mentality. Well, Pastor Steve, if all my Christian activity isn't going to earn me stuff from God, what am I supposed to do all day? Right, Annie? I mean, think about that. If so much of my early years in Christianity, all day long was spent me trying to earn stuff from God through the scripture, through my behavior, whatever. Well, if I already have it all in Christ, what am I supposed to do? Are you ready? Mike Daniel said this. He called it, be radically available. Be radically available. How about this? Radically intimate. If the debt's been paid, there's no deficit. Hang out with Jesus all day. Stop trying to earn and place yourself somewhere you already are and enjoy him. How about this? Be radically receptive. If I'm not earning points all day by doing religious stuff, what should I do? How about be radically receptive? Just all day, every day, be available for the Holy Spirit to speak to you and through you. Because I'm not saying we don't need to receive. If all you ever do is go out and give, you're going to burn up quick. So we, as branches, we have to keep abiding in the vine. We're going to continue to receive, continue to be available, continue to allow his life and spirit to be poured through each one of us. That's what we're going to do. We don't have to go to our friends or family now. Imagine going to a family reunion where we're actually full of Christ. We get to be the expression of Christ to these people. We don't need something from them. Well, I hope Aunt Jo treats me right this year. Because if she doesn't, I'm not going to have a good time. Who wants to be controlled by Aunt Jo and what she's doing? Come on, amen. I want to go be an expression of Christ to the family. Mm-hmm. I hate the idea of Christians having to walk around and say, would someone please treat me right? Just please love me and value me so I can have peace. Nope, we are the filled ones. We're full of peace. We went into the room full of peace. We're not takers. What happens when you're full? What happens when the deficit is paid? You can be given. You can be given. People who are walking full are not looking for everyone in every circumstance to validate them. How about this one? Let's look at some scripture. The Lord's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many? The Lord's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, I don't always see them. I don't always feel like I'm full. I don't feel like I always have all things. Well, do we walk by faith or we walk by sight? We're going to walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by what you see. Walk by faith, not by your feelings. He seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I'm seated. He brought us into union with him. Everybody say, I'm one with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you're one spirit with Christ, you are full. You've got resource. You can be given. Luke 12:32, Jesus said, do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. Who gets the kingdom? If you've been here very long, I've taught you this over and over again. The receptive. Those who are poor enough in their spirit to say, I'm bankrupt without God. So I need him. I'll humble myself. Pour your life through me, Lord. Pour your life to me. Pour it through me. So we've got the true riches. We know that he's given all things to us in Christ. We know our identity. We know our destiny and where we're going. So instead of asking every day, and this has been popular through the years, at least my years of Christendom, what can I do to get God to bless me? Instead, now it's, what shall the Holy Spirit and I do together with the everythingness of Christ? What shall the Holy Spirit and I, my best friend, what shall we do together today with the everythingness of Christ. We'll be intimate together. We'll serve people. We'll minister. Doesn't that sound a whole lot better than just trying to work your way up to God somehow on the corporate holiness ladder? That's all the other religions. Every religion on the planet, they're working their way to God. Yes, they're nice to you, but they're only doing it so he'll like them. Am I right, Bruce? Christianity is God descending to man. Christianity is him coming to you and saying, I'm going to give you something you could never earn. I'm going to give you my fullness. Well, what's the catch? You need to acknowledge you can't earn it. You need to acknowledge that you need it. Be poor enough, right? That's why he said the kingdom belongs to the persecuted, the kingdom belongs to the little children, dependent, and the kingdom belongs to the poor in spirit. God opposes the proud, he gives grace to the humble. That's who the kingdom belongs to. So instead of what can I do to get God to do for me today, what will the Holy Spirit and I do with the everythingness of Christ? And since we get to be given, ministry can be a bowl of soup. You don't need a podium to minister to somebody. It can be a random little act of kindness sowing into somebody's life. It can be praying for their back if their back is hurt. It's just being radically available. See, we can't serve our own agenda and God's agenda at the same time. You guys believe that? You can't serve two masters. Jesus said that. So we can't serve our agenda for us and God's agenda for us at the same time. If I'm always looking to people and circumstances around me to source me, then I'm not cognizant of how radically full I am. I'm not cognizant of how radically available and receptive I am. If I'm trying to get people and things to source me, I am not cognizant in the same moment that I'm full. And now I can share. And we got to watch what we're tapping into. How many of you know some people look even to football teams for life and supply? If their team loses, they just go in the tank. That's no way to live. I can't serve my own agenda for me and God's agenda for me at the same time. If I'm looking to the thunder, there's a good chance, guys, that thunder's not going to win it all. Are you? I hope you're okay with that. Where's Jeremy? So we can hope they do. We can cheer them on. But hey, we're not living and dying with the thunder here. If I'm looking to circumstances to source me, I am not in that moment cognizant of how radically full I am and available to be given and available to be, you know, to partner with God. How about this one? If I'm all encumbered with me and getting my needs met, then I lose sight of being available and intimate and receptive with the Spirit of Christ. Number eight, the lie of lack affects so many areas. The lie of lack affects marriages. I talked about that on a long rabbit trail. Did you get that? You can't go into marriage in the lie of lack. Feed me, value me. I got to gain something from you today. No, you're going into marriage to be the expression of the fullness of Christ, to bear witness of him. Amen. Even relationships, not just marriage relationships, work relationships. Who wants to go to work as a taker, sucking the life out of everybody every day? Evangelism, where we went out witnessing so God would like us more. That's the lie of lack. When we go out trying to love people, why? So God will love us more. That's the lie of lack. I'm already loved. I'm genuinely helping you because I love you. And I want you to know Christ. And then praying. How many prayers have we prayed out of the lie of lack? I don't have enough, so gimme, gimme, gimme. My middle name is Jimmy. My last name is Moore. And like I said, we may not always feel full. We may not always believe we're full, but we need to walk by faith, walk by truth, walk by the Spirit, walk by our true identity, not by sight, not by feelings. Because remember, it's not seeing is believing. Believing allows you to see how much you have. Did you get it? It's not seeing is believing. Believing creates proper seeing. Jeremy, you guys can come. I know that we all know we're in Christ, but Sometimes do we struggle believing that? Can I get a witness? How about this one? I know how much I'm loved by God, but sometimes I struggle believing how much I really am loved by God. I know how accepted I am in Christ, but to be honest, sometimes I struggle believing just how accepted I may be. So there is that war going on. There's always that war going on. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing and hearing by the word. That's why you can't just eat on Sunday. Don't just hear on Sunday. Amen, somebody. Amen. Last passage, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Grace is his supply. That we may obtain mercy and, look at this, find grace to help in time of need. So many years as a Christian, I thought that pertained just to me, my time of need. But as we mature, now we start recognizing, hey, grace is his supply. How many of you know when I'm praying for a guy in a hallway, he has need. And I could find grace for his need. So when we're out and about doing good, being kind, bearing witness that we know Christ, guess what? You can find supply to help in time of need. And it doesn't just have to be your need. It can be for somebody else. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says this, we have access to God's grace by faith. We can access grace through faith. Let's stand together. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to the greatest decision a human being can make.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.